Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, in just a few moments. Ken Pomeroy in the final half hour. Today's show, as we head into Super Bowl weekend, is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now. All you gotta do is just put on the show in the car. Just put on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We can stay connected as you drive over. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills. Let's hear you in Danville right there. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I think I heard somebody in Lewisburg also chiming in there. Very nice. Well done. Mifflinburg, you too? Very good. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. You need to have that Sunbury Motors guarantee. You see that? You know you're taking positive steps forward in the buying experience. Great sales staff that works with you. Your trade-in's never been worth more, and they're going to do everything they can to save you money. And that service department makes it one vehicle shopping. One-stop shopping. Right? One-stop. Because they'll take care of the life of the car. Routine, inspections, diagnostics, they can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Mention Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Oklahoma, Elijah Harkness, a big play and a big move.
7 minutes to go. Sooners with the ball up seven. Harkless! What an athletic move! Elijah Harkless and one. That was magnificent.
This is just a tremendous athlete expecting contact and saying, I am preparing for that contact. Gave a little extra juice. Hit that B button to know that he was going up over box.
Indeed he did, as Oklahoma beat number 9, Texas Tech. And that is our play-by-play call of the day. It is always a pleasure any day to talk with my good friend from the York Daily Record, one of the best in the business, Frank Bodani. Sir, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Steve, hope the week's starting off well for you.
Yeah, it seems to be starting off okay.
Great.
Let's start a little bit with Penn State football recruiting. They get the commitment last week from Vega Ione, who was had been committed for 6 months to Washington. They change coaching staffs. He opens up his recruitment. Penn State gets him, and then they get the transfer from Cornell.
Yeah,
on top
I'm just
of that,
finishing my story here as you guys called me in.
Yeah, yeah,
just committed.
So yeah. What kind, you know, what are we seeing after seeing the class they signed in December, then the late signing period, now this? What are you seeing, Frank?
Well, and also the commit they have on the offensive line for 2023.
Right.
Well, four
right.
of them
Wait,
are.
Which I'm not allowed to talk about.
Right. We won't. Yeah,
right.
That's fine.
You,
that's
can
fine
you can mention all the names you want.
Yeah, yeah,
I just have to sit here and listen.
Got it. Well, I mean, so Phil Troutwine's demise is a little overstated, I guess. But, you know, I mean, he comes in and doesn't have his own guys to work with on the offensive line. New offensive coordinator, some struggles there. And, you know, hey, here's the deal. Offensive lineman, probably the toughest position to grade and to figure out what's going to happen. And, you know, it's tough. Some guys just don't pan out. You know, I mean, and But this is looking good for Penn State. They needed help right away. They get the transfer kid that they really want in Hunter Norzad, and I think that bodes well for a team that's, I mean, they're losing, what, three starters last year, so they need to replace guys.
Right.
And no, he's proven, too.
Right. And yeah, he's proven. I just like Eric Wilson was proven when he came here as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's interesting about that is that, you know, the offensive line, it takes time to develop. And I'll give you a name, the late Adam Gress. Remember how Adam finally got his chance to start here and how well he played his senior year? Mm-hmm. And Frank, I'm telling you, I watched him practice for 3 years and never thought he'd see the light of day. And all of a sudden, boom, the light came on, and all of a sudden it became really good. So it just, you're right, it takes time, and that's one of the toughest areas to have patience with, because you have to have patience when you're developing a lineman.
Right, and even these guys, who are, you know, we don't have to name names, but even the high-profile recruits that Penn State is getting verbal commitments from, I mean, they're not going to be able to help right away. So this is good, but it's not going to be saving the team, so to speak, this season or maybe even next season. That's why someone like Norzad is so important. And to see what the transfer possibilities, Penn State never was able to do that before, right? They were never able to find a guy who had proven himself even at a different level in Adam quickly like that.
Right. No, exactly. And this is the portal is so interesting. And
right.
You know what I have found is interesting is that, for example, he's from Cornell. Eric, of course, came in from Harvard. We're seeing a lot, like several Ivy League players getting one last shot at Power Five schools at a variety of positions. How interesting do you find that?
Well, I think there are probably always, these guys were always high achievers on the football field, too. It's just that we never paid much attention two of them before until now.
Right.
And now they have options to go elsewhere. I mean, it's not just all of a sudden, hey, we were underrated, overlooked, we're just going to do the best we can in the Ivy League. Hey, now they got a chance to shine at a high, you know, a national TV level, you know, a national program level where people are going to notice them. Great for them, right? I mean, plus you get both sides of it. I mean, you know they're going to upheld their end of the work part of it, the study part of it, no problems there, right?
Yeah. Nope, I don't think that's going to be an issue. All right, now the next part is name, image, and likeness. Penn State was one of the first, I think it was like four schools, I think Oklahoma, LSU, Penn State, can't remember the fourth one, to have this not deal with fanatics on uniforms. This is something that always was a touchy subject for recent years. What do you think, A, it means potentially for players, but B, what about the fans and their ability now to get those jerseys?
It's more opportunities for everybody, and I think the winners are going to be the programs that adjust and do it the right way but quickly and take advantage of it. I mean, look at Texas A&M. I mean, they went all in, and I mean, as far as everybody knows legally, but they're helping get the talent into their school. And I think James Franklin was doing the best he could. Boy, he's a master at doing this, talking about what he wants without really, you know, coming down on anybody. But he said, you know, we got to be bold and we got to be aggressive. And it's not just facilities, it's with NIL. And because it's gonna change the landscape from you mentioned fans and their availability, but it's gonna change the landscape of college football, and you got to be able to deal with it and use it to your advantage, because you will get left behind. I mean, that's what it seems like, unless there's going to be rules and enforcing this in a whole different way we don't see. You got to be on top of this, and Penn State, you think is going to do it, but I think they have some catching up to do.
Well, here's one that's ultra aggressive, right? And people wouldn't think of BYU. I mean, BYU's being ultra aggressive with this to the point where they have either a benefactor or benefactors. They're essentially picking up walk-ons' tuition.
which means instead of having 85 scholarship players, technically they can have an unlimited number.
Well, they're smart. And look at Grambling and some of the other schools. I mean, the powers that be, the Ohio State and Alabama's, of course, they're going to be able to benefit because of who they are. But schools that didn't have that same type, if you're creative, if you get on this and you find ways to market yourself and make people say, hey, this is why you should come here now. Look at what you can do for not just yourself, but your family. They're going to steal recruits. I think kids are going to want to come and play if it can benefit themselves, right? I mean, pretty simple, I think. If you have enough developmental parts in process and, you know, in play, that's.
Well, exactly. And look, there are certain boosters, for example, that do not care about return. They just want to win games, right? There's other entities. Let's take Dr. Pepper, for example, with DJ Uiagalelei of Clemson. What was their return on having him be a spokesperson for them? Not very strong. I mean, I don't know if you see he has a lasting deal with them or not. We'll see. But like normally with an entity like that, they want a return on the investment.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's get to the Michigan thing. Josh Gattis leaves to go to Miami, makes a lateral move. We already know McDonald went back to Baltimore, but nobody was surprised by that because, you know, Wink Martindale got fired. He'd been with Baltimore. Let's not pretend Jim Harbaugh, I want to be at Michigan forever. That's because that's his only option. He wanted that Vikings job. You don't interview for 8 hours and not want the job. I mean, Frank.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, I just think for Michigan, the whole thing's a bad look.
Well, sure it is. I mean, and especially after you finally got kind of toward the top of the hill.
Yes.
Right? After every year of people saying you underachieved, you finally got to the place where your fan base and everybody's like, yeah, this is what we've been expecting. And now you have a little bit of disarray. But, I mean, maybe it's just another sign of it's the world we're living in sports is moving fast and it's changing. And I don't know if what we're seeing there is going to be much different than you see anywhere else. Just a little more publicity because it's Jim Harbaugh and, you know, publicity kind of just draws to the guy. But
oh, I know. I know he is. I know.
And you know, Josh didn't get the coordinator job at Penn State, it seems like. So he wanted to go elsewhere. Good for him.
Yeah, it's
fine. Not maybe getting the right look that he thought he would as the head coach, so he's going to leave. And that's just, not everybody does it that way, but, I mean, that's just part of the business.
All
I
right.
mean, I think that's that kind of stuff's going to happen no matter what.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, though, is it's a lateral move. You know, you just won the Broyles Award. Top assistant, and that's what strikes me is the lateral. Now, it's a lateral move to a head coach who is a defensive-minded guy.
Well, maybe he sees a path. He wants to be a head coach and be it at the right place. Maybe he sees this as his best path to help him do it, and maybe he decided Michigan was not anymore. Maybe that's all.
And then there's Auburn, and I don't want to get into what's being alleged off the field because I have no idea what's going on with that.
Right.
Decisions are made sometimes where you just sit back, and the moment the decision is made, it's baffling. And from 30,000 feet. And I'm sitting there, when Gus Malzahn was let go, it's not like he'd never beaten Saban. He'd beaten him 3 times in state. And they give him $21 million to hire this guy, and it never made sense to hire this guy. What did you think?
When you're a team like, you know, Auburn is a little like Penn State and maybe regarded as like a upper tier team in the best, one of the two best leagues in the, you could say, in the country, but yet they're not Alabama, and Penn State maybe to some not quite Ohio State, but they can contend and they can be there and they can beat those teams. And those hires, I mean, the fan bases are, you know, rabid, stability, you know, I think when Penn State hired James Franklin, they looked at somebody who they, at least on his end, thought this guy is going to commit to here and be here and be stable and do it the way we want to do it. So you have to identify the right person for your fit. And I think that's way hard to do. How about that?
No, it is hard to do. Now, there's obviously pressure from boosters, right? You know, got to win more. I mean, I cited, for example, Phil Martelli, because Phil's going to be here tomorrow, right, at St. Joe's. Now, he'd been there a long time, but he already had on his team at St. Joe's Jared Bynum, okay? Bones Highland was coming in the incoming recruiting class. Akeem Hart was coming in the incoming recruiting class. And they blew him up. So Bynum, who had been a freshman, transfers to Providence at 32 yesterday. Hart goes to Maryland, starts. Bones Highland goes to VCU, starts, and is a first-round pick in the NBA. St. Joe's, since they blew him up, 6-26, 5-15, 10-11. Nice move.
Well, you know, there's and who are the people doing the hiring at that time at your school, and what's their future? You know, what's their thought process?
Right.
Because people want to win right away, but you know, how do you do that? And do you go who? And then how do you gauge who the next young hot candidate? How are they gonna be? Not just the first year when they get their recruiting bump, but how are they gonna be in year 3, 4, and 5? And how many guys can you name that go to programs like that, like at Virginia Tech, and they do well right away, or they do well enough, but it doesn't hold.
Right.
And people aren't patient anymore. I mean, what patience is there even at those programs where they had sometimes had coaches for a long time? There's no patience.
Right. It's just
nope.
And the part about the Harrison thing is that when he was hired, like, I know he was at Arkansas State, but like from Boise after 7 years to the SEC, it just didn't seem like it fit.
No, and I don't think Joe Moorhead fit necessarily where he was going. He's a great coach and a great guy, but is that the easiest fit for your big time head coaching job? I don't know if that's the right fit. I don't know if, and that's nothing against him.
No,
I
mean, and they gave him 2 years.
Right. I mean, he didn't have enough time to turn really anything around, even if it is a better fit than we think. But
it's interesting. I know these are all hard decisions, but it sure is interesting. We sit back and say, yeah, I remember when Phil got blown up, I was like, that makes no sense. When Brian Harsin got hired at Auburn, I thought, that makes no sense. But I am from 30,000 feet, so what do I know, Frank? All right.
Well, you know how to pronounce all these names.
So far, that part I'm usually pretty good at, which is
tremendous at that. Kudos to you with all your practice too. Good luck this week.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
Frank, you're the best. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Take care today.
Always good to head into the weekend with Frank Bodan at York Daily Record, talking some Penn State football. Great to talk to Frank anytime. All right. So it is another big weekend. We talked about what's going on with, I mentioned basketball tomorrow with Penn State at Minnesota. It's at 8:30 on at 8 tomorrow night for Williams Arena. I took a few moments to check out the weather. I always check ahead just to see. I want to make sure I know what I'm packing before I get out of here. And it looked like the weather this week in Minneapolis was a lot like here. You know, it kind of warmed up a little bit, you know, and one day we got a little chillier. I mean, you know, today, I mean, let's face it, we got to 50 degrees during the course of this week here. And so I'm looking at the weather, and I noticed that when we get there tonight, the temperature is dropping down to 6 below 0. Tomorrow's high temperature, 4. Really? Well, at least the hotel will be nice and warm. Nice and warm. And plus, I'm going to get a steak over at Murray's tomorrow before the game. And then we'll go over there and Williams Arena will be warm. 4 degrees. You're all going to blame me when it's cold on Sunday here, which is supposed to be on the chilly side. You're going to blame me for bringing the weather back. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Pickle Bar. Let's hear it in Lewisburg. All the other now. The Pickle Bar led by the barrels and Dills and D. Second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury, the beverage supermarket.
We're in the Sunbury Motors studio and coming back with Kemp Pomeroy in the final half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over...
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour for the week. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to stock up for the weekend. Let's just do it now. Let's get in the car, put on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'll keep you company. We'll talk a little bit with Kemp Pomeroy as you drive over to Reagan Street in Sunbury. To Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket. You want to stock up for the weekend. You want to stock up whether you're watching wrestling or whether you're watching college basketball or the Waste Management Open or you're watching the Olympics or you're watching the Super Bowl. You want to be fully stocked, ready to go. When it gets cold on Sunday, you're like, hey, I'm stocked up. We're all set. I already went to Brewers Outlet. All right? So when you get there, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Some people love wine coolers. Water. Lots of soft drinks. Snacks. Need plenty of snacks, especially if you're having people over for the big game on Sunday. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And six great flavors of slushies. The Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills that's here you in Sealands Grove now. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. You want great new inventory, which is the direction I go in personally, because I like, you know, I like the guarantees. I like the fact that it's brand new. Well, they've got it. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. No problem. They have you covered. The Sunbury Motors Guarantee. They go over each one with a fine-tooth comb. You know that is outstanding in the buying experience. Great sales staff that works with you. They want to save your money, and your trade-in's ever been worth more. And to make it one stop vehicle shopping, the service department is phenomenal. Routine inspections, diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. 4 weeks from Sunday. Now, Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, but 4 weeks from Sunday is Selection Sunday for the NCAA College Basketball Tournament. I will admit to everybody, yes, I am a subscriber because it really helps with my preparation for games. Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com. Welcome, sir. Always a pleasure.
Hey, Steve. Great to be back on the program.
Yeah. It is amazing. Dick Girardi and I, it's an important part of our pregame prep.
and we've talked about how you got into it. When you look at numbers, what numbers are important to you that you look at that helps shape your idea about a team numerically?
Well, it you got to take that on a case by case basis to some extent.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I approach it is just kind of look at the big picture first, and then drill down into the details. So, obviously the main page contains the rankings, and those are based on the offensive and defensive efficiencies for each team. And so those two things are really important, but they don't really tell you how a team gets to be good offensively or poor offensively. So there you just drill down into what we call the four factors. And from there you're looking at shooting and turnovers and rebounding and free throws. Those basically explain, everything about your offense and defense. And once you see where a team, is strong or weak in those areas, I think you really get a much better feel for kind of the personality of how a team plays.
And everything is on a case by case basis, because for example, I'll check out, I'll give you an example. A team may be 45% of their offense are twos and maybe 39% are threes, and then free throws minimal along the way. You'll say, hey, look, you're slowing down their three-point game. You're doing something because they're not they don't get a lot of offense from two. So you're right. It is a case-by-case basis along the way. When you put it together, let's talk offense for a moment, then I'll go to defense. On your offensive numbers, I just watched Iowa, which is twice in 9 days, which is a top 10 offensive team. Who are some of the top offensive teams in your rankings when you go through it?
Well, this season, it's the number one team in the country right now is Purdue.
Yep. Shocking.
Yeah. And kind of a, similar personality to Iowa, to some extent. Like, they're really good offense, and the defense holds them back a little bit. They're a better team than Iowa, but if they're going to reach, Final Four national championship type goals, their defense will have to improve. So it's them. It's Gonzaga's number two. Kentucky's third. Kansas is fourth. Baylor's fifth. I mean, those are your top five offenses in the country right now. So I think what's interesting is that you kind of look historically, and there's a little bit of a trend towards, we say defense wins championships, but really
I'm glad you brought this up. I'm glad you brought this up because that's a great point, and it's something I've talked about and Dick and I have talked about. In football, what has Alabama done? Alabama has been going with big-time offense in recent years. I'd say the last couple of championships that Nick Saban's had may have been his, quote, weakest defensive teams. I'm seeing the same thing in college basketball. Is that what you're seeing over and over again, that, hey, you put up some points? Like we say all the time, the good teams aren't in close games.
Right, for sure. And, the bottom line is, like, great offense tends to beat great defense, Guys are making shots, how often do you see it? Guys are making contested shots, the defense is doing everything it can, and the ball still goes in. And I mean, it's not to say the defense doesn't have any influence on that. These are subtle trends, but especially as you get later into the season, shooters get better, and you just can't win, with a dominating defense alone. And really this year, it seems like that trend is even more obvious. So many of these top teams have great offenses and maybe, good defenses, but they're really being driven by their offense. So it's kind of an interesting trend I'll be following here the last few weeks of the season and then into the tournament.
Yeah. So let's now flip it. Who are the top five defensive teams in your ratings right now when you put together all the numbers?
Yeah. So top team right now is LSU, who's
Penn State.
A bit of a skid.
Penn State played. Yeah, they played in the tournament.
Yeah. And it's VCU, San Diego State, Texas Tech, and Boise State.
Okay, so Penn State was supposed to play VCU, and then that game got canceled because of COVID.
But. Yeah, but yeah, it's striking. Those top five teams. I mean, they're good teams, but it's not quite a who's who of the top of college basketball like the top offensive teams are right now.
All right, so let's take another one. Pace. Penn State is a team
That is, I want to say, I don't know, they could be, what, 347, 352, somewhere in that range in pace right now. We know Virginia's always going to be down there. Penn State's got Wisconsin coming up on Saturday, Ken, so there are going to be a lot of possessions.
Right.
Along the way. Does pace, when you look at your top five teams in pace, are those the ones that are scoring the points, or is there a correlation between them?
Yeah, so I mean, if you're looking at like the final score, you're going to see those teams. They do, you know, have higher final scores. That doesn't necessarily mean their offense is better on a per possession basis.
Right.
Yeah, it's there's not a good correlation there. What is interesting this year, though, is that two of the top three teams in pace are Arizona and Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And Gonzaga, you know, for years under Mark Few was not exceptional in terms of their tempo. They're pretty average. But last three or four years, they've accelerated. And then, of course, their top assistant, Tommy Lloyd, took the Arizona job this year. And
right.
He has brought that system to Arizona. So you have two very effective offenses that are very fast-paced, which is kind of unusual. And I do want to point out on Wisconsin, though, the pace this year ranks 199th, Steve. So
yeah, they're a little bit better because you know, the reason is because Johnny Davis plays with more pace, right? And Tyler Wall plays with a little more pace. And I think that does make a difference. You're right. Because I thought that was one of the big changes Bo made when Bo was the coach. You know, they'd be grinding it down 57 possessions a game. You notice when they got to the Final Four what they did? Because he had NBA players. He had Kaminsky, he had Decker. Suddenly, out of nowhere, they started scoring over 80 points. So even Bo, back before he left, started thinking that way.
For sure, and I mean, the national runner-up team just had a phenomenal offense as it was. So even playing at a, you know, uninspiring pace, if you're scoring a point and a quarter per possession, that's really good in college basketball, and you're still gonna look pretty solid on the scoreboard.
Let me ask you about this, because there are possessions per game, but you have it down as adjusted tempo. So what does that mean? So if somebody subscribes to that adjusted tempo in terms of possessions. There's possessions, but there's adjusted tempo. What does yours mean?
Yeah, the adjusted tempo basically takes into account who you play. So it tries to kind of figure out what pace do you want to play at.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, especially if you're playing in a conference with a bunch of slow teams or a bunch of fast teams, whatever. But if you're playing a conference with a bunch of slow teams and you want to play fast, like the other team obviously has the ball half the time, so they can drag down your pace more than maybe you prefer. So the adjustments try to account for that.
Now, this is serious, but Dick Girardi and I always find it comical. When your score predictions, based on everything you put in, are just so ridiculously close all the time. Our running joke has been privately, not on the air. We haven't done that on the air. Is that we feel like a certain entity in the desert is reading your material. Did you ever get that feeling?
Yeah, I've heard things to that effect. I think certainly like 10 to 15 years ago, there was more truth to that. You know, there weren't a lot of other options around to get predictions. And so I think once people realized I had a pretty decent system, like, there was some influence on what the folks in Vegas were doing, and I don't know how it works now. I assume that there's just so much money in this that they have a little bit more sophisticated system than I do. But
why did you start doing score predictions on this? It just, I mean, Dick and I find it fascinating, so that's why we'll always check, like I always can say, 77-74, what's the final? 77-73. Oh, wait, blew that one. But why did you start doing that?
Well, it was just kind of all part of the mission of the site, really, for me. You know, there's 350-plus teams in college basketball, and I like predicting the future. And so I just wanted a nice reference just to know, hey, you know, this team's playing this well right now. Here's what their future schedule is. You know, if we make some predictions about future games, how will they, you know, how will they look at the end of the season? So I just like predicting things, and I think it's you know, just useful information if you're trying to get a gauge on a team that, you know, you don't know a whole lot about.
When the NCAA Tournament Committee puts out its it's 68. How do you sit there and watch that? Because you know what your numbers say. And do you sit back and go, okay, I don't understand why they're a seventh seed because my numbers say they should be a four?
Well, it's, you know, there's a little bit of a conflict there because to me, so first of all, my system is, you know, it's again, it's trying to make predictions. So, you know, people kind of, when they're new to it, they get a little confused because I'm not like, my system doesn't care necessarily how many quad one wins you have or things like that.
It's right. Looking at yes.
How you played. And
yep.
There's a lot of influence with scoring margins. So it's trying to make predictions going forward and not reward you for accomplishments, which is really what the tournament selection process should be about. That should be rewarding you for compliments. Even if you were skating by with a bunch of close wins, you know, as long as you're winning games, like that should be what matters. So I don't get too wrapped up over, you know, hey, this team should be seated here or there. I do think about, you know, this team is, you know, kind of a sleeping giant. Like they play pretty well this year. They lost some close games with some good teams and they're obviously underseeded because of that. But now that, you know, now that they're in the tournament, they can do some damage. Those are the kind of thoughts that I have.
Okay. Don't have to say who if it happens, but do certain members of the committee ever quietly get in touch with you about things?
They don't actually. I can honestly
gotta
say.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I can't wait to tell Dick this one.
No, the only time I really ever interacted with members of the committee is either in some sort of, you know, official meeting at the NCAA or, you know, I just run into somebody at a game, you know, and an athletic director is on the committee or whatever. And they might have some questions at that point, but no, I've never been contacted really, you know.
You got to be kidding me.
From the selection rumor.
Okay. You have to remember, we're two people that we prep games. And mm-hmm. to be honest with you, there's critical parts of your preparation. Going to practice is critical. Watching film is critical. You know, knowing personnel critical. But then when it comes time to break down numbers, your site is critical to what we do. Okay? Full disclosure. Is there anything over the years that you added that you thought was important and anything you deleted because you just realized it wasn't important?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, over the years, you know, I've just added a few things here and there. I mean, the one thing, I guess the best story I can tell about adding something is, you know, 10 years ago or so, Chris Holtman, who's the, you know, the head coach at Ohio State, he was coaching at Gardner-Webb at that point, or
I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. Yep.
Yeah, and he.
Then he went from there to Butler. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he was. This was like right before he got to Butler. He was there as an assistant first, and then took over as head coach. Right. He was looking at his team's tempo, and it was kind of slow. And he was like, "Ken, we don't play that slow. Like this is something wrong with your calculation." And so what I did was I ended up splitting up tempo basically into offense and defense. You know, what's your average possession length offensively and defensively, and kind of looked at that. And sure enough, like, you know, Gardner-Webb was like actually pretty fast on offense, and they just slowed people down defensively, which is kind of, you know, what most coaches probably want to do. And
right.
So I was like, oh, you know what, I always had that information kind of in my back pocket, never put it on the site. Like, you know what, I'm just going to put this on the site.
Yeah.
So people like Chris Holtman can see this and don't have to complain about it. And anyway, that got added to the site like 10 years ago. And to me, that's like, you know, really useful just to kind of see, you know, another dimension of a team style, not just one number for their pace, but like, you know, like Penn State's a great example where they use a lot of shot clock on offense, but actually defensively, they don't slow it down. Like teams, you know, play kind of an average pace against mm-hmm. the defense. So you can kind of see that breakdown, and sometimes it's you know, it's pretty interesting.
Right. It is, and I'll give everybody an example because you can historically go back on Ken's site and can see what a team has done. So Micah Shrewsbury was an assistant coach with Brad Stevens at Butler when they went to the Final Four. So it was actually Dick that did this. He went back to look. Adjusted tempo in the year, I think it was the year Gordon Hayward hit the shot off the flange. The adjusted was 59 point something. And you never felt like Butler was playing slow, but that was just what the adjusted number was. And Penn State right now is at 62. So, you know, it's kind of pace that he has seen before as a coach.
Yeah, that's the one thing, too. Like when I'm doing preseason projections, you know, the offense and defensive projections are basically like kind of, you know, looking at your personnel and who you brought back and who you lost. But the pace projection is like entirely who's coaching the team. Like, there's some coaches, you know, that change from year to year. I mean, I mentioned Mark Few kind of has made some adjustments in recent years, mm-hmm. but for the most part, you look at a coach and what they've done like the last 5 to 8 years in terms of their team's pace, and that's like what you're going to get the next year. Like, it's very much a coaching driven metric and very stable, you know, 2 to 3, 4 games into the season. Once you see a team's pace, like, you kind of know what they're going to do the rest of the year.
And then Greg guards 199. All right. I got it. Get, you know what? You know, I now have that locked in for Saturday at 6. All right. Ken, an absolute pleasure. I always love talking to you. You know that, and appreciate you very much.
Well, thanks for having me on, Steve. I always enjoy our chats and enjoy the rest of the season. It should be a fun finish.
Look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you.
Ken Pomeroy, KenPom.com. And again, the Super Bowl is Sunday. 4 weeks from Sunday is Selection Sunday for the NCAA College Basketball Tournament. Now, again, it's been always one of the goals from day one as we go into our 11th year here, that we always want to bring not just local to you, but national as well. That's the kind of show we've attempted to do now going into our 11th year. I mean, getting guests like Ken and Ross Tucker yesterday, you know, and others, all part of the goal. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. 6 great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Stock up for the big Super Bowl weekend now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I'm Steve Jones. We'll talk to you Monday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
100 years.